going to be continuing on the lesson, This Same Jesus. The text scripture, Acts chapter number 1, 10 through 11, says, "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Companion scripture for that is Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's what he came the first time. He came to bear the sins of many. And the scripture says, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." That's what we're waiting for, the coming of the Lord, to come and complete our salvation, where he's going to change our vile, corruptible bodies into his image, an incorruptible body, a glorious body. That's our expectation, that when he comes back, we're going to be like him. According to the scripture, we're going to see him as he is. We are going to be just like Jesus. He overcame death. Our expectation is to do the same. Now, the next scripture for this lesson is coming from John chapter number 4, verses number 29. The woman at the well, when she says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Now, last week, we started off the lesson by looking at the man's lifetime. As we said, Jesus went up in this particular passage, but he's also telling us that he's coming back again. And we are concerned about that time in between his going away and coming back again, especially as it relates to us. People may look at it as it relates to the world or history as a whole, but I am really only concerned about my soul. I'm concerned about my life from the time that I came into this world until the time that I'm gone. And Jesus, during that time, is letting me know that Stephen needs to be prepared. Right. Stephen needs to be concerned about the things that he does, because Jesus doesn't miss anything. The woman at the well says he told her all things, right? Jesus doesn't miss anything. Nothing gets by Jesus. And we need to make sure that we understand that. Nothing gets by Jesus. Now, where we're going to go into this morning is going down a little bit further in the lesson, talking about Jesus is immutable. Jesus is immutable. And that word immutable means unchanging over time. Now, remember, if you looked at the top of the lesson, you notice we're not like that. We're not an immutable creature. Why? Because if you notice on those in that silhouette, start off in a carriage. But at the end, you see the man, he lives out his days, he's walking upright. So we change. We don't stay in an unchanging state. We are created to change. None of us look the way that we were 20 or 30 years ago. We have all changed. We have all turned into something else, you know, for better or for worse, you know, but you have changed. You have changed. You took on another image. You took on another likeness. Now, but when we see Jesus, the scripture says Jesus is immutable. That word immutable means he's unchanging over time, or unable to be changed. That's why when you hear people say that Jesus can do anything, Jesus can do anything but fail, that's not true. You know, it sounds good to be able to say, "Oh, the Lord can do anything but fail." But you're really not understanding who Jesus is. Jesus himself says, "I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore." So to say Jesus can do anything but fail, that means that he can change. But the scriptures say he cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's immutable. He's not capable or susceptible to change. Just as like you can depend on the Lord today, you can depend on him 20, 30 years from now. Just like Jesus is God, whether you knew him or not, he still is God. He didn't just become God because you came to know who he is. He's always been God. He was God before you came into the world. When your mom was a baby, Jesus was still God. You know, when your mom's mom's mom was a baby, say, I don't know her. Well, whether you know her or not, she was here. And when she was here, Jesus was God right then and there. And he was providing the same opportunities to that person as he is to us. And these are the things that we have to keep before ourselves. We serve a God that does not change. He does not change and he cannot change. If he expects holiness from one generation, he's going to expect holiness from the next. If he didn't tolerate sin in one generation, he's not going to tolerate sin in the next. Don't think because you're living up under grace that Jesus is okay with sin. According to the scripture, it is just unmerited favor shown towards us. But he is still going to judge the world for sin. Just because we're up under grace does not change the wage or the payment for sin. The wage or the payment for sin is still death. And we know that that is true because we have people dying around us all the time. And it is proof every single day that sin's payment is real. Whether we pay attention to it or not, whether we think it's real or not, whether we say all of this doesn't make sense, it's a bunch of fairy tales and make-believe, one thing you cannot make up is the fact that you are going to leave here. You are going to die. And when you die, the scripture says, oh, you should be asking yourself, where am I going to be at? Where am I going to be at when I stop breathing? Where will I, what is it going to be like once I stop breathing? And the only proof or the only information we have concerning life after death is the word of God. The only one that explains to us what it is like after death is the word of God. Science can't do it. The scientists can't do anything about it. They can't test it. Scientists go through the process of testing things. You can't test what happens after death. You can't go through and you can have all of these different, even you can't even have an hypothesis. Because a hypothesis requires that you be able to test that thing. Even you can't even come to some form of conclusion about that. Because again, it can't be tested. What we do is we walk and we move by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. That's our expectation. We go by what Jesus says in the scripture because history has already proven that he was here on the earth and that he died on the earth. But the difference between him dying and other people dying, you can't find his body. He got up out of the grave and he said, because I live, you can live also. That's my expectation. My faith is not founded on fantasy. My faith is not founded on something made up. It's founded on tangible evidence. You find the body of Jesus and then I can say that his word is alive. But if you can't find his body, yet you tell me he died on the earth, his word must be true, right? His word must be true. His word is something that I can rest and depend on. Yeah, it's the truth, saints. His word is something that I can depend on. Look at the scripture there that's in Job, chapter number 23 and 13. Now, in the Living Bible, what does it say there? Nevertheless, his mind concerning me remains what? Unchanged. Isn't that the truth? Yes. The mind of the Lord concerning me remains unchanged. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Yes. The Lord loved me even when I didn't love him. Right. And now that I'm learning how to love him, right, he still does what? His love hasn't changed. Right. His love, it hasn't changed towards me. It has been the same since I came into existence. Remember, because according to the scripture, he lighteth every man that comes into this world. People say, well, how do I know the Lord loved me? Because he brought you into existence. He could have prevented you from ever knowing what life is. He could have stopped you in your mother's womb. But he allowed you to exist because he loved you. And then he allowed you to come to know him. That's the true saint. He allows us all to get to know him in an intimate way. All because he's trying to show us just how important we are to him. Yeah, that's right. At the end of the day, people can say all kinds of things about you. But at the end of the day, what does the Lord feel about you? That's the only thing that I'm concerned with, is how does Jesus feel about me? And the scripture says that he loved me. He loved me beyond what other people share, what other people can do. Oh, John says he so loved us. He so loved us. In John chapter number 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In other words, God came in the flesh. God is a spirit. Spirits have no form, no blood, no body. And because of Adam's disobedience, Adam brought sick death into the world. And because God loved us, he said, I'm going to make myself a body. And I'm going to taste death for everybody. Why would you do such a thing, Jesus? Because I love you. I care about you. I am concerned about your well-being. Right? That's the true saint. That's why he did it. He thought about us even before we thought about ourselves. He had us in mind. He thought about showing us and expressing his love and care for us, even before we even had a knowledge of who he is. That's what Jesus did. That's why the scriptures describe it as being, he so loved the world. God so loved the world that he came down in this fleshly body. That was a lowering for him. Yes, because God is a spirit. That for him to take on a fleshly body was a lowering for him. Says just like he says, he made himself a little lower than the angels. In other words, he went from being a supreme image. God went from being a supreme image, bypassing other images that he used to praise him. He went beyond that and came down in a lower image. A lower image means God took on flesh. He didn't come here as an angel. He came here in the flesh. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every creature, right? Just like the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, right? That's the true saints. That's how much Jesus loves you. That's why you go around and you hold that on your shoulder. You hold that in your mind. When the devil try to make you feel like, say, don't nobody love me. Don't nobody care about me. You stop and say, no, that's the devil talking. Because the devil already knows Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me and he cares for me. And you say, oh, the devil say, no, he don't. Yes, he does. Why? Because he brought me into existence. He gave me a knowledge of who he is. I'm not like everybody else. I walk around people that move better than I move. But they still don't know who Jesus is. I work around people that make 2 and 3 times more than I make, but they still don't know who Jesus is. They're going to die with all of that money in the bank and going to have to leave it to somebody else, and their soul is still going to be lost. But my soul, my expectation is that when I leave here, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to wake up in the arms of Jesus, right? That's my expectation. That's why I can say the Lord loved me. I don't care about nobody else, but the Lord loves me. And the Lord is trying. The Lord is showing his love towards humanity. Now, whether the people want it or not, he's still showing it. Because you still see the Lord let people wake up. Every day. He wake them, up just like he wakes us up. And he gives them the activities of their limbs just like he gives us the activities of their limbs. They can move and function just like you can move and function. They can put their clothes on just like you put on your clothes. But the question is, what did you do with what the Lord gave you? Don't worry about the life. You say, Elder Scudder, but I've been serving the Lord a long. What are you doing today?
Right.
The Lord gave you today. Y'all sang this song, "This is the day that the Lord has made." What are you doing today? How valuable, how important, how relevant is Jesus to you today?
Right.
All right, you got to show the Lord.
Right.
You got to show the Lord, Jesus, you are important to me.
Right.
And you say, well, how do you show the Lord he's important? By what you do.
Right.
By the things that you do. You said, I got to get up.
Yeah.
I got to get up and I got to keep moving.
Right.
Even though nobody else want to come to service, I've got to get in here and show the Lord, Jesus, you are important to me.
Right.
You mean something to me.
Right.
You're just not a figment of my imagination. You're not just an option in my life. You are important. Without you, I cannot live. Without you, I cannot breathe. Without you, I cannot exist. You got to show the Lord that, right? You can talk a good game, but you got to show Jesus just how much he means to you, right? That's right. You got to show the Lord. You got to show the Lord you mean this.
Yes.
I mean to go back with Jesus when he comes.
Yes.
I mean that when I die,
Jesus.
I'm expecting to see
all
Jesus. I'm living that way.
Yes.
I'm living with the expectation
yes.
that I'm going to see Jesus
right.
when I close my eyes.
Right.
Many people, again, they choose to engage in lots of different things.
Right.
Even right, I tell you all right now, it's very easy for you to be in here. While the word is going forth, you be involved in a whole lot of stuff. But you got to remember, you're showing Jesus something. Your life is telling the Lord a story. Your life is expressing to Jesus just where he is on your totem pole. Right? You know, totem pole is ordered in things of relevance. When things are more important, you put it at the top. Jesus said, I don't come second to nobody. I'm a jealous God. You can have no other God before me. Jesus looking at your life and saying, where do I line up? Where are you putting me at on the things that are valuable to you, right? That's the truth. Some people say houses, land, money, people, relationships are more important to me than anything else. And Jesus saying, if that's the case, you can go right on and serve that stuff. But one day you are going to die and you're going to have to give an answer for the things that you have done in this body. Huh? Now that seems fair, especially when Jesus is telling me, I know how I feel about you. Lord is telling you flat footed. I know how I feel about you. I love you with an unchanging love. Remember, Jesus is immutable, meaning he cannot change.
Right.
He said, I love you with an unchanging love,
right.
but do you love me?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Come on, that's a question
yes.
that you got to ask yourself.
Yes.
Be bold enough,
yes.
dare enough to say, do I love Jesus?
Yes.
And if I love him, what am I doing to show him that I love him? John was asked that question there in the book. Go back over to the book of John really quick. John was asked that question by Jesus, and that thing disturbed John. John chapter number 21. 21 and starting at verse number 15.
21 and 15.
Yes.
It reads, so when they had dined,
uh-huh.
Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than
these. Huh?
He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I
ain't love that the truth? You're serving a God that knows you.
Right.
Come on, saints, do y'all understand that?
Yeah.
You are serving a God that knows you. That woman at the well said, he know everything about me. Come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Huh? He know everything about you. So you can try your best to save face in front of flesh. In other words, I'm going to tell everybody I love Jesus. But then the Lord know I really don't love him. The Lord really know I love this and I love that more than I love him. But I'm trying to wake you up out of sleep to help you to understand that's not how God is. God is not limited to your understanding and your thinking and your ways. Jesus knows everything. He doesn't know part of you. He knows everything about you. He knows every cell in your body. He knows every virus that is hiding in your immune system. He is the one that activates your immune system to fight those viruses that are lingering in your body right now. Nobody can do this but Jesus. That's the kind of God that you serve. He is almighty. He has all power in his hand, right? That's the truth, saints. That is the truth. And when he asks a question, you better examine yourself. I mean, you better look yourself over really quick. See, John gave a response, you know, automatically. But the Lord said, you got to stop that quick tongue stuff. And you need to stop and really meditate on what I am saying to you. Huh? Come on. That's the truth. You need to really meditate on what Jesus is saying to you. And make sure that your response lines up with your behavior. It's easy to just say, oh, because we talked about that lesson on brotherly love on Wednesday night. And it was real easy to say, oh, no, I love my brother, I love my sister. You better stop real quick and really think about that thing. Am I really loving the saint like I am supposed to love the saint? Do I have these preconceived ideas? Am I holding on to these things that are not like Jesus? These characteristics, these behaviors, these attitudes that the Lord say are like the old man. They're not like the person that Jesus creates when you receive the Holy Ghost, but it's like the old man. It sounds old. Huh? Come on. It's old in its method. It's old in its idea. It's old in the way that it thinks. But it's not like Jesus. Jesus said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things should be what? If you ask the Lord to do anything, say, Jesus, let the old me pass on, right? Help me to put that old man in where he belongs at. He belongs in the place of death.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We carry him around.
Yes, we do.
Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, I told you.
Yes.
I told you all the time. I hear it.
Jesus.
I hear it. The sad thing is you don't hear it, but I hear it.
Yes.
I hear little comments that we make, little things that we say about one another that we should not say.
Right.
Not when you're embracing that word brotherly love. Love don't talk like that.
Jesus.
How do you know love don't talk? Because Jesus don't say that about you. Jesus doesn't think that way about you, right? He sees the best in you. When others see the worst, Jesus sees the best. Jesus says, you can leave your pocketbook around the saint. You can leave it around the saint and leave it open. And know that the saint is not going to do you wrong. Say, I don't want nothing such to touch my back. Who is talking like that? That's the old man. You need to ask the Lord Jesus, crucify that old fella. I don't want to think that way. Especially not about my brother and my sister. Those that I'm expecting to spend eternity with, right? That's the truth. I'm expecting to spend eternity with the saints. I'm not expecting for the saint Jesus to put me in one corner and the saints in another corner. I'm expecting to be gathered together with them. But what the writer said, we are going to be caught up together. Ain't no you sanctified you more than me. And the Lord got a special elevation for you. We're going to be caught up together. Hand in hand, right? One another. It's going to be a united effort, a united front. It's going to come up before Jesus. Who is it? It's going to be the righteous. They're going to be lifted up over the earth together. We don't know how to get together down here. What makes you think you're going to be ready for the rapture, right?
What makes you think you're going to be ready for the rapture?
Right.
You're only fooling yourself.
Right.
You're going to be left down here. Huh? Do you want to be left? No.
I
done came too far,
too far
to be left down here.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Come on, done came too far,
too far
in this way of living. In my knowledge of who Jesus, I know too much to want to turn around now. I would be a miserable person in hell. Nor would I know right now. Do you realize if you go to hell now, you know too much? You're going to be down there burning, knowing you could have done better, right? Knowing I could have done better. I could have made some better choices. Huh? It wasn't even worth it. The very thing I was holding on to, it wasn't even worth it.
Right.
The hate,
yeah.
The evil attitude, it wasn't even worth it.
Right.
Was it worth your soul?
No.
Right, I'm going to ask you, what are you willing to give in exchange for your soul? In other words, you're saying to Jesus, this is more important than my soul.
Right.
You don't want the Lord to say that about you, that this person said this was more important than my soul.
Right.
No!
Yeah.
My soul is too valuable.
Right.
Do you realize eternity is too long?
Yeah.
There are no do-overs.
Right.
There's no get out and do it over again. No!
Right.
Once you're there, you're there.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
There's something to me. Once you're there, you're there. And you don't want to put yourself in that kind of situation.
Right.
Huh? Come on. Read me a little bit more. We got in John.
Yes.
Read. What does it say?
Uh-huh.
Yay, Lord.
I
love you. Do the work. In that work, you love Jesus. You should be working.
Right.
You should be doing something. Doing something to glorify Jesus.
Yeah.
You can't be sitting by the side of the road.
Right.
Watching other folk work. You need to work.
Right.
Lord say, you love me, do something.
Right.
You know what the Lord said?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, Lord, I love you. Jesus said, you better get your hands to working then.
Right.
That's work. Look at the answer that Jesus gives him once he says his response.
Right.
Jesus asked the question, do you love me more than these?
Uh-huh.
And Jesus said, he said, yeah, Lord,
right.
You know that I love you. Jesus said, do the work.
Right.
In other words, let your actions line up with your mouth.
Right.
Huh?
Yep.
Let your actions. Sometimes our mouths run 100 miles per hour.
Right.
And our actions move like a turtle.
Right.
Huh? You need to let your actions line up with your mouth.
Right.
That one rum writer told you, be slow to speak.
Right.
Huh? Because you do so much yapping.
Yeah.
You, before you know it, your mouth done ran way past your behavior.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Let my actions line up with my mouth.
Right.
Jesus said, these folk, these people try to draw nigh to me with their mouths.
Right.
But their heart, their actions are far from me.
Right.
In other words, there's a great disconnect.
Yeah. Right.
There's a disconnect between what you say and what you do.
Yeah.
You say, I love you, Lord,
uh-huh.
But your actions say, no, you don't.
Right.
You love yourself.
Right.
You love stuff.
Yeah.
More than you love Jesus, right?
Right.
That's right. You're going to perish with your stuff.
Right.
That's true, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Lord say, let your actions line up with it.
Right.
Do the work.
Right.
Next one. Read a little bit more. Ain't nothing wrong with Jesus. I don't want you to think something wrong with the Lord. You say, well, the Lord asking him the same question again. Ain't nothing wrong with Jesus. Huh? He's trying to let you know just how serious this thing is. When you start to talk to him. Come on, someone else go over to the book of Ecclesiastes. While our sister's reading the rest of that in John. Write it in your notes. Write it in your notes if you're not going to be able to go over there. Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, or chapter number 3, I believe it is.
Chapter 3.
Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
When thou vowest a vow.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter number 5, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Chapter number 5, and start at verse number 1.
Keep thy foot when thou
keep your foot. And I tell you all, we done came too far.
Right.
To even be thinking about going back.
Right.
Huh?
Yep.
You ain't got no thoughts. There ain't no good thoughts.
No.
I'm trying to tell you, that's how going back starts. Because you start to think about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
you shouldn't even be thinking about. And the Lord is letting you know you fooling with the wrong one. What do you mean, Elder Scott, are you fooling with the wrong? Jesus knows your thoughts. He just don't know what you say and what you do. He knows your thoughts. That's why you got to ask the Lord, Jesus, take away every ungodly thought, every ungodly idea. Every time when the Lord's word come up, and my thoughts get a little funny. My thoughts get wayward, out of the way. Nah, you need to ask the Lord, take that stuff away from me. Why? Because you're not going to go back with Jesus like that. I'm telling you, Israel messed up because they didn't take care of their ungodly thoughts. Before they said it'd be better for us to go back to Egypt, they was thinking about it. In other words, they was tired of walking. They was tired of moving. They was tired of looking at nothing but desert when somebody promised them a land of milk and honey. In other words, they didn't want to do the work. Come on, they were lazy folk. They did not want to do the work. And Jesus said, if you love me, you've got to do the work. You've got to do the work, Jesus said, right? You got to do the work. You just can't talk it. You got to do it. Even when you don't feel like doing it. They say, Elder Scott, I'm tired. Get up and do what the Lord say do. Get to moving. Come on, get to moving. I'm trying to tell you, it's your body that's trying to hold you back. Your soul wants to run. Why? Because your soul knows what's at stake. Your soul knows if it leaves this earth without Jesus, it's doomed. It's doomed. Your body don't care. Why? Because your body going back to the dirt. But you got to bring your body under subjection. You got to make your body behave itself, right?
Jesus.
Now make that body do what you're supposed to do. That's the truth, saints. I'm not trying to tell you you're not going to feel pain. I'm not trying to tell you you're not going to be sick. But I'm trying to tell you it's in your body. And your body not trying to go back with Jesus. Your body already knows its value. What is your body? It's dirt. It has zero value. Jesus didn't die for your body. He died for your soul, right? That's why you got to bring your body up under subjection. Put it where it belongs at. Every time your body say, no, you can't, say, oh, yes, we know we can. Oh, no. We will do this. Oh, no, we will do this. What do you mean we will do this? Why? Because you trying to make my soul miss something. Lord done promised me a body. In other words, I'm getting out of here. Why will I let this hold me back when the Lord done promised me something else? He said, I go away to prepare a place for, in other words, another body, saints. Why would you let this one hold you back when the Lord got a better one for you, right? Lord got a better body for you. So take this one and do all you can with it. I mean, do all you can with it. Do everything you can to glorify the Lord in this body. Let the Lord know how you're going to behave yourself in that new body. What you do in this one is a reflection of what you're going to do in the next one. So if you lazy in this one, Lord said, ain't nowhere in the world I'm going to let you get in another one. Why? Because you ain't going to do nothing with that one. You did absolutely nothing with the one that I gave you already. What did you do? You buried it in the earth. In other words, you died before your time, right? You died before your time. What did that fellow do with his talent? He hid it in the earth. Many of us have taken our bodies and put it in the box. You walking, but you put your body in the box already. You acting like you're dead. You are alive. You behaving yourself like you're dead. You done put your body in the earth already. And the Lord said, ain't no way in the world I'm going to give you another one. Because you ain't did right by the one that I gave you. You don't know how to treat it. You don't know how to value it. That's the truth. Lord, I'm told, how can I treat my... The Lord say, present your very body. Present your very body as a living sacrifice. How do I do that? Holy and acceptable, which is the will of God, right? their mind over matter, by the renewing of your mind. Say, the elders, God, you don't understand, such and such don't want to do that. You can't dwell about them. Renew your mind by the renewing of your mind, right? That you could do what? Prove. Prove it. Prove it. That's what the Lord was telling Peter. Prove it. You say you love me, prove it. Prove it with your actions. Say, Lord, I love, prove it with your actions. Stop doing all that yapping, yapping, and prove it with your actions. When the Lord say, I'll bring you into my house, keep your foot. Is that what Ecclesiastes say? Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verse number 1, keep your foot. When you keep, when you come into the house of the Lord. And be more what?
Ready.
Be more ready to do what?
Hear.
Everybody that got an ear, let them do what? Hear. In other words, ask the Lord to give you an understanding to what he is saying in his word. Hear what Jesus is saying. I'm not talking about with those things on the side of your head. I'm talking about the thing that's in your brain, in your head, in that skull of yours. That old hard rock that's up there. How the Lord has put that hard rock to protect the most important thing in your body. You can break a whole lot of other stuff, but you better not break that brain. That brain is important. How powerful is it? Lord say, I'm only letting you use 10% of it. You all realize as big as our heads are, we only using 10% of what's in there? We are dangerous creatures, aren't we? We be going around fooling in 11 and 12 and don't know how to behave ourselves with the sin. That 11, 12, 13, 14, 20, 30%, that's self.
Yeah.
Whole lot of it. Self. And when you start to think that you're more than what you really are, start to go around with these attitudes, thinking you the most to say the least, and letting you know you're using more than your brain than you, doesn't mean a lot to you. Because science say you only really use 10%. So where you coming up with all these 20s and 30s? That's when you start talking about all this stuff that you really know nothing about. Gloating and boasting. See, that Donald Trump is on 80. He's on 80%. He's done gone way beyond. He's out of control. They're letting you know I've got to control him because he can't control himself. Why do you think folk go to jail? Because they can't control themselves. You know the rules. You know the laws. You say, I can't abide by these rules. I can't abide by these laws. They say, well, put them, lock them up. Put them in a 5x5 or 6x6 and let them just sit there. Think about what he's, what about he going to do? Say, yeah, I can't see no sun sign. Well, that's too bad. Let you know you can't. I'm going to let you know when you can go out. And I'm going to let you know when you can come in. Only thing that let you freely do is use that commode. That let you know your value. They let you use that commode whenever you feel like using it. And you can be as nasty as you want. Because who got to live with it? You. Ain't nobody going to come clean your mess up by you. You got to clean it up yourself. Now, if that's, if jail teach you that, why can't you understand that when you free?
Amen.
You want to bring everybody into your mess.
Right.
You need to clean it up yourself.
Right.
You made it, clean it up.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. And whatever you done made, it ain't no excuse for you not to love Jesus. Say, when the Lord let you come into his house, he said, Lord, give me an understanding. And he's giving you a clear understanding. He's helping you to understand really what life is all about. So you come into this church, Lord bring you into the knowledge of truth. He helps you not pay attention to stuff that's only temporary. Elvis got to teach you stuff that's not temporary. I teach you about things that's going to be long lasting. I make you think. I make you think. We use this word and we open it up to make you do what? Think. I don't want you to go around and say, oh, Alice Cousin. No, no, no. Read it for yourself. Read it in your own book. Make you think real hard about what you do, what you say, where you go, and who you are. that you really see the true essence of life.
Yes.
He said, I just got all such and such died in my family. Oh, I make you realize, time to be born and the time to die.
Yeah.
Jesus knew this day before they got here.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes,
he did. He knew about it before you got, you fall apart.
Yeah.
But the Lord done told you before you got started.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to the message 10, 20 years ago, we was talking about death way back then.
Yeah.
Whether you were even paying attention to it, we was talking about it.
Right.
And we was telling you to get yourself ready.
Yeah.
Get your house in order.
Yeah.
Why? Because your end may come tonight, right?
Yeah.
It's not a new message.
Yeah.
You've been hearing it from the day one, right?
Yeah.
You've been hearing it from day one.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
And we just walk around like it's just going to everybody, but not us.
Right.
And then when it hits us, we feel like we unique.
Yes.
We feel like we special.
Yes.
Like somebody doing us unfair.
Yes.
Lord done told you about it already.
Yes.
He's prepared you.
Yes.
The word is given to do what? Prepare you.
Yes.
Oh, yes,
thank
it is.
Jesus, yes.
It's given us to prepare you
right.
for the things that are coming.
Yes.
We say it every Sunday night.
Oh, no.
We do not know what we are going to confront this week. I give you the best advice I can give you.
Right.
Take Jesus with you.
Right.
Take Jesus with you. Why? Because he's everything you need. He's just not some of the stuff. He's everything you need.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I'm tired. He's your strength.
Yes.
Huh? He is your strength. Elder Scudder, I'm confused. He's the one that's your peace. He is a mind regulator. He knows how to calm the storms that are in your life. Elder Scudder, I don't feel like I'm going to make it. He's your helper.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
If anybody can help you, Jesus can help you.
Right.
These are the things you got to keep rehearsing in your mind. You got to get rid of the old.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the old be saying them little, them horrible things.
Yeah.
I don't need no man. I don't need nobody to do nothing for me. That's old.
Yeah.
Because you realize I can't do nothing.
Right.
I need Jesus.
Yeah.
And I definitely need Jesus to bless me with those that are in my life to help me, right?
Yeah.
That's the truth.
That's true.
Got that old, I mean, that's old thinking.
Yeah.
Get that thinking stuff out of your head.
Yeah.
I don't need nobody. I'm going to just go right on through life.
Right.
You ain't going to be miserable all of your life.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you flat footed, I need everybody the Lord bring into my life.
Yes.
Every saint,
yes.
I need each and every one of you.
Jesus.
Huh?
Yes.
And when I need you, I'm going to call you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to call you. Why? Because the Lord brought you into my life.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
He ain't think twice when he locked his keys in the air. Let me call Elder Scudder. Why? Because Elder Scudder is in my life.
Yeah.
I don't care what I was doing. I had to stop. Deacon, on my way. Huh?
Yes.
Why? The Lord brought him into my life.
Amen.
Is that the truth?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
He asked the Lord, Jesus,
right.
help me.
Right.
And the Lord helped him.
Right.
How did the Lord help him? Because he brought you and I into his life.
Yeah, right.
And it's up to us to be there.
Right.
Well, amen. To show what? Brotherly love. Love is an action word, isn't it? The brother said he's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Take off your coat
and
give it to him, right?
Uh-huh.
That's action.
That's right.
Not talking.
Right.
Action.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Words is
cheap. Thank
you,
Jesus.
Action.
Jesus.
You got to do it.
That's it.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So when your brother and your sister say, I need.
Yeah.
Sister said it this week.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Elder Scudder, I need.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do? I said, let's go. Well, I couldn't say this Saturday because I knew we'd be out of town. I said, well, let's just do it today. She said, oh, you show today? Yes, today.
Mm-hmm.
Call today.
Mm-hmm.
Got up, Victor got to moving.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? See, I thought about that. I said, maybe I can't lift this thing by myself. Deke, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
Deke said, what time? Call me. I said, I need you. Be there. All right, we'll be right there. Huh?
Right.
Love
right.
is an action word.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't take advantage of nobody. Huh? Deke had things he had to do. I went and I said, oh, I could do this by myself. Deke, don't no longer need you. Go back and do what you got to do. Deke said, all right, let's go. I'm on my way. Love is an action word, right?
Yes, it is.
I ain't leave it on the step. I could have left it on the step. Did my part. I transported. I could have said, huh, sis, ego, leave right there. Do the best you can. Call your neighbor. Call your children. Tell them to come pick it up, right? But she asked a saint for help. And a saint got to behave like a saint, right? Is this the way you want it? Is this where you want it? This is how you do it? Come clean up all your stuff behind you. Are you okay? Is everything the way you say? Yes, it's just, thank the Lord for you. Go on about your business. You think that, no. Saints don't do that. We love.
Yeah.
Love is an action word.
Amen. Right.
Is that, does that make sense?
Amen.
Yeah.
You just can't pick and choose.
Can't pick and choose.
I know we love to. We just love to pick and choose the thing it's convenient for us.
That's it.
But that's not love.
Right.
Jesus didn't pick and choose with us.
Right.
Jesus didn't say today, I'm going to give you breath today.
Yeah.
But tomorrow I'm going to give you half of a breath.
Right.
We'd be in a world of trouble.
Yeah.
We woke up this day with a half of a breath.
Yeah.
And then had to get through the rest of the day with a half of a breath.
Right.
Talking about how you're getting out of bed. I couldn't get out of no bed with no half of no breath.
No.
I need it all.
Yeah.
I need every... I need it all to be working, right?
Yeah.
Huh? That's the truth, saint.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your foot when you come to the Lord's house.
Mm-hmm.
And be not... What does it say? Be ready to hear.
Yes.
Be more ready to hear.
Than to give
the sacrifices of the fool. Well, what do the fools do?
They don't consider.
So it looked like Jesus was trying to help John not to be a fool.
Right.
If Jesus had to ask him the same question more than once, he was trying to prevent John from being a fool.
Yes.
He wanted John to think about what you're saying, right?
Yes.
And if that's true with John, what about us?
Yeah.
You need to think about it.
Yeah.
When you make those vows,
uh-huh.
Folks, we were so they look see him coming down the aisle. They see him coming. They stand. They ain't even paying attention to the one that got the authority. One that got the authority in front of you.
Right.
Huh? Not even paying attention to that. You paying attention to flesh.
Yeah.
You got flesh inside you. Your flesh is itching.
Mm-hmm.
And you just paying attention to flesh. Mm-hmm. You just wait till he say, I will. Get me out of this thing. Huh? Ain't even paying no attention to what's being said to you.
Amen.
What is being said to you? It's an oath. It's an oath.
Yeah.
It's a vow.
Yeah.
Huh? And it's not between man.
Right.
It's a vow you made between you and the Lord.
Right.
Huh? Make you. That's why I say you better think
before
you open up your mouth and say you will, right?
Right. Right. And you ask for it.
Just to make sure you understand. Do you clearly get what you're getting yourself into?
Right.
Huh? This thing is till death.
Yeah.
Somebody got to die and you cannot kill one another.
Right.
Somebody's got to die and you cannot kill one another. So how long am I going to do this? Until the death. Huh? That's just one vow. There are several vows that we make. We come into the Lord's church.
Right.
Huh? Nobody makes you come down this aisle.
No.
Nobody sits you in that chair.
No.
Nobody opens up your mouth and answers for you when the questions are asked.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to obey the rules and the regulations of this church?
Yeah.
Huh? You say yes.
Yeah.
Are you willing to obey those that have the rule over you?
Right.
Huh? In this church, the pastor, the deacon, the mother, the missionary, are you willing to? Yes. Are you willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and to tarry, which means to wait until you are endued with power from on high, with the evidence of speaking in tongues as Jesus gives the utterance? I will. You made the vow. You made the promise. Huh? Then first thing something happened, I'm gone. I don't like it. Whoa. You didn't make your vow to me. You made your vow to Jesus. I ain't leaving Jesus. I'm leaving y'all. Oh, is that what you think? That's the doctrine that the devil put into your mind? Huh? That's the idea and the understanding that Satan has put in your head? You mean to tell me that you all are the only church we can go to? No. No. But you said the Lord brought you here.
That's right.
Amen. He could have brought you someplace else. But you said the Lord. Oh, no. I know the Lord want me here. This is the place that I need to be in.
Yeah.
Y'all love one another. Oh, we do. Okay. Y'all so full of love. Love. I just love to be around. Thank the Lord for you. Are you, make sure you talking that way 20, 30 years from now. I'm trying to tell you, when your feet get a little crooked, you might not like what I have to say to you. And you need to still be talking full of love.
Yeah.
Once I rebuke you.
Right.
Oh yeah, you're going to get rebuked.
Right.
You do something wrong, I'm going to correct you.
Right.
Why? Because that's my job.
Right.
At the end of the day, I watch for your soul.
Right.
Not for your feelings,
right,
but for your soul, right?
Right.
Now you can't say when stuff get a little tough and difficult, then everybody want to hide behind that word love. Y'all used to love. Well, we still loving you. Because you didn't like what was said don't mean love. Your mom and your daddy beat you. They ain't stop you from sitting at the dinner table, did it?
Nope.
All the beatings you got, when food was ready, you was right there. Right. He was right there.
Right.
When gifts were being passed out, you were right in line. When shoes got too small, you have holding up your feet. You need some bigger shoes. My toes coming out the top. Love. You were taking that love all in, weren't you?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you get grown.
Yeah.
Then you want to start talking about, they don't love me.
Yeah.
They ain't love me.
Yeah. Talking foolish.
Just talking pure foolish.
Yeah.
Because your little mental mind don't remember.
Right.
Huh? All the sacrifices
right.
that somebody made to get you where you are.
Yeah.
All right, what the back of the program say? Don't forget.
Yeah.
Don't forget to remember.
Right.
Where not some of them, all of them.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You forget where you came from.
Yeah, sure do.
You forgot that.
Yeah.
You said we were living in project. I don't live in no project no more, but it raised you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You survived in there.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden now you get out of there and now you're too good to go back in there.
Right.
Oh, you're too good to go back and go visit.
Yeah.
I'm serious, you survived there.
Right.
It kept food on you, kept a roof over your head, kept you protected, and you learned something while you were there.
Right.
And what you learned, it did move you from out of there.
Yeah.
But don't you forget to remember where you came from. Where your blessings.
Yeah.
Say, we say, can anything good come from out of there? You should be a witness and say, yes.
Yeah.
Something good can come from out of there, right?
Yeah.
Don't look down on it.
Yeah.
Just keep working with it. Something good will come from there, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I didn't intend to go there. But we need to, what does it say? Keep your feet when you go into the house of the Lord. Be ready to, more ready to hear. Huh? Then give the sacrifice of the fools. They don't consider what? That they do what? See, that the Lord knew that fella. The Lord knew John better than John knew himself. Therefore, the Lord had to ask that question three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. The same thing, right? Lovest thou me
more than these.
Huh? Do the work. Do the work. Feed my sheep, my lambs, or something like that. Then he asked him a second time. Simon, Simon. Do y'all realize the Lord know who you are? He's calling you by your name. And he's asking you a very simple question. Do you love me more than this stuff?
Right.
Do you love me more than your children?
Right.
Do you love me more than your family?
Right.
Do you love me more than your house?
Right.
Do you love me more than your car?
Right.
Do you love me more than that girlfriend or that boyfriend?
Right.
Do you love me more than your job and your money?
Right.
Huh? Lovest thou me more than? These could be anything.
Right.
Don't limit it. These could be anything.
Right.
John said what?
He said unto him, Yea, Lord, I know.
You know I love you.
Right. He said unto him,
do the work. Do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Come on, Jesus, talk again.
He said unto him the third.
Come on. Now y'all realize Jesus means what he's saying.
Yeah.
He ain't playing.
Yeah.
He means what he's saying.
Wow.
He trying to tell you, you tithe even when you can't afford to tithe.
Right.
Why? Because you're showing the Lord you do what? I love you.
Yeah.
You give when you can't afford to give.
Right.
Why? Because you're showing the Lord how what? I love you.
Right.
Get on your knees and call.
Yeah.
Even when you don't feel like getting down there.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're showing the Lord. Lord, I love you.
Right.
Are you going to be there today? Nah, I ain't coming. Oh. All right. Because at the end of the day, who you showing? Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Your actions is between you and who?
Right.
It ain't me.
Right.
That was just me. Sometimes they say, "That's because I don't think they want to call you." Well, they ain't got to call me if they want to. As long as they tell somebody, they can call Kirsten if they want to. Call Jabari. Ask Jabari for his phone number and call him. He'll come tell me. Somebody called and said they not coming tonight. Who was it? I don't know. We'll do process elimination. Who's not here? Somebody called Jabari and told Jabari they ain't going to be here today.
Oh, man.
Jabari probably said, why? I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
You mind your business. You better be like that child.
Yeah.
You better be like that child. Don't let them children be more excited to be here than you.
Right.
I'm serious. Don't let them children be more excited to be here than you. Don't let them beat you out.
Right.
Huh? Lord, see something in them that should be in you.
Right.
And the Lord say, you know better.
Right.
Why? Because I done proved myself to you multiple times.
Right,
they just now coming to learn about me.
Right.
Read a little bit more the third time.
Said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?
Right.
Peter was grieved.
Oh, yeah. See, this thing made Peter pause. Peter was really quick to answer because Ecclesiastes says, be not rash.
Right.
Right? That's right. What Ecclesiastes says. Be not. Keep thy foot when you come into the house of the Lord and do what?
Be more ready to hear. And to give a sacrifice of food.
Keep going.
Right? But they consider not that.
They don't consider what they're not considering their behaviors.
Right. Verse 2, be not rash.
Be not rash with your mouth. Meaning don't be quick tongue.
Right.
Don't be quick to blurt out a response
right.
without thinking first.
Right.
Think about what come out first.
Amen.
Think about it. You say pause.
Yes.
Think about it real quick. Let me think real quick before I say.
Yes.
Scott, are you going to do that? Let me think really quick before I say something.
Right.
Hmm?
Because
I don't want to just blurt out something
right.
and then I ain't able to follow through.
Right?
Right?
Right.
I want to be able to follow through with what I said I was going to do.
Right.
Else I'd be a liar.
Right.
A liar tell you they're going to do something and they don't do it.
Right.
That's a liar.
Right?
Do you want to be a liar? No. Keep your vow.
Right?
Keep your vow.
Right.
Keep the promise that you made.
Right.
Be not rash with your mouth.
And be that not thine heart be hasty.
Yeah.
To utter anything before God.
Keep going.
For God is in heaven.
Where's Jesus at?
In heaven.
Uh-huh.
And
are you aware?
On earth.
Don't forget that, saints.
Therefore,
don't forget the dynamics.
Right.
Where am I at? And where's Jesus at? So nothing can get hid down here.
Right. He said, therefore, let thy words be few.
Well, let them be what?
Few.
Mm. Yeah. Sometimes I think we don't talk much, but really we do.
Yeah.
I'll be listening to them say, I don't do much talking. Yeah, you do. Why don't you ask somebody else, do you do a lot of talking? And be ready to hear their answer.
Right.
Because you might not like that. You say when they say, I don't do that, I don't really talk as much as such and such and such. And they say, well, ask them about you. Do you think I do a lot of talking? Yes. You don't know when to keep your mouth shut. You like that faucet when it open, it just keep running. Sometimes I don't think you breathe in between the words that you say. You run from one thought to the next thought. And I can't even keep up. Because I'm still trying to process the first thought that you gave. Huh? Is that amazing? You know people like that, don't you? But in their mind, they don't talk much. They say, oh, I'm just quiet. No, you're not. You're really not quiet like you think you are. I know that's who you want to be. But who you want to be and who you are is two totally different things. Huh? Does that make sense? I guess y'all may say that about me too. But I never told you I was quiet. I'm a preacher. Well, I can talk for hours. You better be concerned when I stop talking. That's when you need to be worried. Say, oh, this cutter ain't saying much. Because you know if I ain't saying much, something is wrong. Right? But as long as you see me talking and asking questions, you say, oh yeah, he all right. You don't want to hear me? Go around the other hallway. Yeah. My children know how to, they don't want to hear me talk, they go up in their rooms. Shut the door or whatever. They don't want to hear me talk. You come downstairs. I'm going to talk. I'm going to ask you questions you don't want to hear me ask. Sometimes I'm like Jesus. I ask the same question over and over again. Because the answer that you gave me really is not settling in my spirit.
Right?
Huh? Yeah, it's true.
It is true.
I said to tell you back there. He said, I asked him, what's your work schedule this week? And he'd give me all this. And I come back and ask him again. What's your work schedule this week? Dad, I already told you. Well, obviously, what you said didn't line up with me. I need to know when you go to work. And then, after about the third or fourth time me asking, then I get an answer that make more sense. An answer that I can follow with. You understand what I'm saying? An answer that's logical. Because if it don't make sense, if it ain't logical, if it's out of balance, I need to know when you're going and when you're coming. They say, well, I'm growing. Hey, you are. But you're still in this room. And I need to know when people are going and coming. Right? Does that make sense? I need to know all traffic. Going in and coming out. You see a mouse run across your floor, you don't act like that's normal. You say, that's abnormal.
Right.
Somebody's traveling on my floors that do not belong.
Right.
And I got to deal with that thing.
Yes.
You don't want me to treat you like no mouse, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I need to know what's going. It's coming. Right? I need to know all traffic.
Right?
It need to be familiar. In whose eyes? Mine.
Right?
Because I'm the watchman.
Right.
I need to know what's going and coming in these doors. Right?
That's right.
Need to know every footprint. My wife had dust on the bottom of her shoe yesterday.
Yeah.
And she was trying to blame me. She said, did you put all this dust in this bathroom in here? We was in the hotel. Did you put all this dust off? Put all these dirt tracks in my floor? And I looked at the bottom of my foot. I said, man, those tracks don't look like mine. And I went in there and she just stomped it. I said, I think those yours. Nani? Oh. They all mine. She done forgot where she walked in. I said, you remember when you was out at the ski thing, you wore those shoes on that dusty ground. So you just, that dust followed you. She had mountain dust all the way down in the valley. That dust followed her all the way down there, right? Ain't that amazing?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta be careful where you go. It follows you.
Yeah.
All right on down to wherever you are. Come on, y'all finish reading? You done close up your book. Is it time for me to go?
Oh,
read a little bit more.
Jesus.
The third one. And he asked him a third time.
Okay. He said, lovest thou me more than these. The third time.
Yeah.
John
was grieved. Peter was grieved.
Because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, that thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now we know really why Jesus would ask a question like this, because remember, he was the fella that was struggling with brotherly love in our lesson on Wednesday.
Yeah.
When he came around the other group of people, he withdrew himself.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And he was the one that was supposed to be showing what?
Right.
So you can understand why Jesus would ask a question like this.
Right.
What did he open himself up to? Open rebuke. Because
right.
where he should have been teaching others, he had need of a newcomer. A newcomer by the name of Paul that had to openly rebuke him for his what? Behavior. Because if anybody should have known how to behave themselves, it should have been Peter. So now you can know why the Lord would ask a question like this, not once, not twice, but three times. Jump back over to Ecclesiastes and we'll let you get ready to go.
Number three,
yeah.
Or a dream coming through.
Yeah.
To the physical,
yeah.
And a fool's voice is known by the multitude.
By how much he says.
Right.
Don't nobody know how foolish you are if you keep your mouth shut.
Right.
But the minute you open it up, people know really what's going on in your head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some folk you look at and they look like they real smart, real calm. But then they open up their mouths, you say, wow. Hmm. So that elevator don't leave no flow. It's just stuck. You just look at them, you say, "Woo, they don't sound like they look."
Right.
They look real pretty and real smart, real together. But then when they open up their mouths, you say, "They don't really know much."
Right.
They don't really know much. Say, if you don't want nobody to know you don't know much, keep your mouth shut. I do that when I go to meetings and I don't know what's going on. I keep quiet. Why? Because I don't know what's going on.
Right.
I'm not going to let you know that I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And while you're talking, what is Stephen doing? I'm learning.
Amen.
Yeah. And I just sit there and take it all in. When somebody asks a question that I was thinking, I say, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Because it is peace, and then they go through. Let me go get something. I'm going to give you an example. I'm saying, wow. I'm down to taking notes. Oh, so that's how it went. Okay. Then when the meeting is over, I find somebody that I can trust to teach me. And I say, well, you know, during the meeting, such and such said this, this, and that. Can you explain to me that? Yeah, hold on. This is what this does, and this does this, and this does this. But what does it mean to them? If you do it this way, this means, because you remember how we do this? Yeah. Well, see, that feeds into that. I said, oh, yeah, I can send you X, Y, and Z stuff that I learned. Let me email you all of this stuff. And I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus. Now, imagine if I opened up my mouth when I was in the meeting because I heard a word that I thought I knew. Huh? And I'll give you a perfect example. You know, in the States with the police troopers, they say CAD. When I was in school for architecture, CAD meant computer-aided design. That's what CAD means. It's a computer-aided design. It teaches you how to design buildings or pieces or whatever. In the state, they use the same word in the police department. CAD don't mean that. Now, I could have been in a meeting, they saying CAD, 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 CAD. And I said, yo, yeah. It's cause amazing because computer-aided design. So they like, no, that's not what that means. Now they know I'm just a fool. I don't know nothing that's going on around here. Here I am talking like I know what I'm talking about. CAD, 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 CAD. And they say, oh, well, right out, what does CAD mean? You know, computer aided design. No, that's not what that means. Not in our world. And how did I know? How did they come to know that I was foolish? Because what did I do? I opened up my mouth. And really, I should have just kept my mouth what? Yeah. Then they wouldn't know that I don't know what they're talking about. Right? Now, does that make sense?
Yes.
Jesus telling me this. This is not like Stephen wisdom. Jesus is telling me this in the word.
Right.
That a fool is known by the what? His multitude of speech.
Right.
Keep going.
When thou vows a vow.
When you vow a vow to Jesus.
Defer not to pay
it. Don't defer. Don't put it off to pay it.
Right. For he has no pleasure.
He has no pleasure. No pleasure. That's right. Keep your promise. Don't say you're going to do something if you're not going to do it. Right? Does that make sense? That's a good one right there, saints. It's a good one right there. It's a good one for me to kind of leave right there so that you can understand it. Read six.
Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin.
Oh.
Either say thou.
You already know in your mouth is a world of iniquity. It's a deadly poison. Huh? That's how you know that Donald Trump don't go to church. Because if he went to church, he would have read a scripture like this. And he would learn to keep his mouth shut.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Suffer not thy mouth to do what caused thy flesh to do what? Sin. Keep going.
And it says, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error.
In other words, that you made a mistake. Huh? I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. You said it.
Right.
Keep going.
Wherefore should God be an angry?
What would the Lord be?
Angry.
Now, how you think you're going to go back with the Lord and you making him angry? And the scripture done specifically told you that before Enoch was translated, he had the testimony that he did what? Not that he made Jesus angry, but that he pleased the Lord. Keep going.
It says, wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands.
Right? Yes.
For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities.
But that's right, and you notice when that's what the Lord told us that in the last chapter of this very book, verse number 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We need to learn how to do what? Fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man, right? For God shall bring what? Not some. He's going to bring every work
into
judgment with who?
With every secret thing.
Yes.
Whether it be good or whether it be.
Does that make sense, saints? Yes. Now you can better understand why the Lord asked Peter that question. How many times?
Three.
Make sure you follow up with what you say. If you're not going to do it, keep your mouth shut. You learn more by keeping your mouth shut. It's the reason why the Lord gave you two of those things on the side of your head and one of those things in the front of your face. He's trying to tell you it's more important for you to do what? Listen. Than it is for you to do a whole lot of talking. Alright? We told y'all that a couple of Sundays ago. Learn how to just do what? Shut up. Keep your mouth shut. And be ready to do what? Listen. Ready to listen. Be ready to listen. All right? All right. Don't forget that Jesus is immutable. He does not change. The thoughts he already knows, his desires towards me, they will not change, saints. If they don't change, I don't want to change. I want to make sure that when it comes to me and Jesus, I remain the same. My body may change, but my feeling towards Jesus has got to stay the same. It's got to stay the same. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, I've got to show the Lord that I love him, that he's more important to me than anything, right? That's true, saints. That's true. Remember, talk is cheap. The Lord is looking for your what? Your actions.